Philip Van Winkle is studying the book of 2 Peter. Here's Philip.
In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter writes, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Again, we're talking about these false teachers who are telling error, but apparently they're doing so and they're gaining some finances, or at least seeking to gain it, because he uses Balaam here. Remember Balaam? Balaam was told to go and to prophesy. He was told by God to tell Moab that they were going to be destroyed by Israel. But then Balak, the king of Moab, and some of the elders of Midian, tried to pay Balaam some money to prophesy. And so they said, "We'll give you a lot of money if you will tell us that Moab will be victorious." Balaam said, "Well, give me some money and I'll see what I can do." So he goes back and they give him some money, and God says, "Listen, you better tell them that they're going to lose this battle. Israel's going to be victorious." So he goes back and he tells Balak this. But then they beg and they plead. And so he says, "Well, I tell you what, I guess you didn't give me enough money, so if you will just give me a house full of gold, let me just see what I can do." So Balak does, gives him what he asked for. But now Balaam goes to talk to God, and God says, "You better send them back. Don't you dare go with them. Israel's still going to be victorious." But Balaam goes back with them anyway, even though the Lord told him not to. He tried to get as much money as he could from these people. Sometime you should go back and read Numbers chapters 22 through 24, the story of Balaam. But what happened? What happened? He was rebuked for his iniquity, 2 Peter 2, verse 16. This dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of this prophet. The angel of the Lord blocked the way. He stood in the road. And then the donkey became filled with the Holy Spirit, as some would say today, and he spoke to Balaam. He compares these people to Balaam, these false teachers who are teaching error in order to gain money for themselves. Folks, look around. The same thing is happening today. You see, 50 people, that doesn't look quite as good in a church as 500 people does. "Oh, you know, I can't live high on the hog, and I can't afford everything that I want to afford with just 50 people. So, but, you know, if I had 500, well, that seems to work pretty well. So I just need to preach kinder and softer words, and I need to stop preaching what God says, and I need to come up with something." Well, that's the point. That's exactly what these false teachers were doing. They were exchanging truth for lies. They were telling people things that the people wanted to hear, to gain money, to gain fame. Peter, tell me what you think about them. In fact, Peter, why don't you tell me what God thinks about them? Here's what Peter says in verse 17. "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." So, you know, you get thirsty for a drink. You're real thirsty, and you're hoping and you're praying for some refreshing water. But you go to these men, you go to these wells, and they're dry. They have absolutely nothing real to offer. Jeremiah said it like this: "Peace, peace." That's what they offer. "Peace, but there is no peace." He said they're like clouds that come. They promise rain, but they don't produce any water. They don't do anybody any good. Perhaps you've heard the American Native Indian proverb, "Big thunder, no rain." They talk big. They say all these nice and wonderful words. They talk big, but they produce nothing. Well, that's what these false teachers are. And so verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity," there it is, there's the big thunder, "the great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. These words were high-sounding, highfalutin, extravagant words, words that were put there to impress people, but really they had no substance. But you know what the really sad part about this verse is, about what we learn from this, is that these big words, people were buying into them. People, well, that guy sounds really smart up there. Why, he sounds really like he's an intellectual. Maybe we should just buy into what he says. You know, that happens in the church today. There are people today going around saying, well, you know, there's no paradigm in the Bible. You know, God just doesn't give us a paradigm. And so it's time that we have a paradigm shift. Ooh, big words. What does that mean, paradigm? God didn't give us a paradigm. It's time for a paradigm shift. Well, you look up that word in the dictionary, and it means a pattern. They say, well, there's no pattern in God's word. Well, folks, that's a bunch of baloney. If there's anything in God's word, it's a pattern. But they say, well, there's no paradigm. You see, there's no big fancy words, swelling words of vanity, swelling words that are worthless. They're good words. They're sweet words. They allure to the lust of the flesh. You see, I like how that guy preaches because he makes me to feel good. Oh, he tickles my ears and he just tells the nicest stories. Oh, he sometimes jokes around. Oh, he's so soothing to listen to. You know, Isaiah talked about these people. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 and 10, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Well, they say to the seers, verse 10, see not. They say to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth sayings. Prophesy lies. Oh, we would rather you tell us stuff that makes us feel good. We want to feel good about ourselves. So Sunday morning comes, and the preacher gets up and he tells little fancy jokes and he tells cute little stories and he doesn't ever get into God's Word. He certainly doesn't convict or convince anyone of their sins. And so, as would happen in Isaiah's day, God would get tired of it. And God would allow the people to be destroyed. Verse 19, while they promised them liberty, freedom, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. They promised freedom. They promised liberty. It would just do what you want. They themselves are not even free. You know, one of the greatest tricks of the devil is to make people promises and then not to keep them. And these false teachers, they promise men freedom, but they produce nothing. They provide nothing because they can't. Many times we reach out to lost people. One thing I hear from people is, you know, I don't want to come to Jesus right now, because they're being honest. They say, I don't want to come right now because I just have to give up my freedoms, my liberties. But the truth of the matter is, he's already a slave. He's a slave to the devil, to his evil desires. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. Now, there are two Greeks generally used. Now, there's a few more than two, but there are two main words used in the New Testament to describe the word servants. One is the word diakonos. That is the word we get for the word deacon, the one who serves in a certain capacity, special servants of the Lord's church. But then there's another word called doulos or doulao, which is the bond slave, really a slave in the sense that you and I think of it today. There's a great difference between one who serves a certain capacity and one who's an actual slave. But this word that we're talking about here in Peter is the word doulos, the word to slave. These men who are living in sin are slaves to corruption. Peter is informing us and them, it is not a matter of who's going to be a servant. The question is, who's going to be your master? Because the fact is, you and I are servants of somebody. You have a job, or you work for somebody, you serve somebody, but really, spiritually, we only have two people that we can be servants to. We can either be the servants to the Lord, or we can be servants to the devil. You can serve Christ, and when you die, when this world is over, you can live with Him in heaven. Or you can serve the world. You can serve the devil. And at the end of time, you can lose your soul and be forever in hell. See, it's pretty logical, actually. If you're going to spend time on this earth serving God, then in the end, you'll be with Him. If, however, on this earth, you're going to spend your time serving the devil, then in the end, you're going to be with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And so the devil is working, and he's working through these false teachers, and he says, you will have freedom, liberty. The word liberty in this context, and I believe in this context, he's talking about really not having to serve the law of Christ. You don't want to obey it. Hey, don't worry. It's okay. You're free from your responsibility to have to serve the law of Christ. You see, in America today, we call this place the land of liberty. But you know, we have a law. There's never liberty apart from law. The fact is, you cannot exist where there is no law. It would be complete chaos. People would do just whatever they wanted to do. He says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. You know, back then, I guess maybe in some places today, when one army went against another army, the losing team or the losing army had to become the slaves to the victorious army. And now he says, these guys have been overcome by sin. They have lost to sin, and now they have become the servants or the slaves to sin. And it's still true. Today, if you're overcome by sin, you will become a slave of sin too. And so we don't need to be tricked. The devil, he promises freedom, but then he brings us into captivity. Folks, we're just putting out a warning. There are false teachers. The great thing is about the Word, there's many great things about the Word of God, but one great thing about the Word of God is that He says these false teachers are going to come from within. And so you and I can never just rest just because some guy says something. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's not. But you and I have a responsibility to our souls and to God to hold up every word against the Word of God, to make sure that what that person is teaching is true, so that we can save our souls and that we can live with God one day in heaven.